silver letters edged in gold encircle planet Earth as it turns majestically in space. Lights twinkle on the continents, which are surrounded by vast blue oceans. The letters come to rest in front of the globe. Universal. A Comcast company. Letters rise from within a bird's eye view of a rectangular maze. Syncope. Raindrops fall into a puddle, rippling outwards in concentric circles. A young man with dark hair and angular features watches the dance of vanishing circles and starts to tilt his head. Cut to black. A surging blaze of fiery light splits open a surface. Swirling wisps of amber light give way to flurries of sparks floating among bright orange flames that expand continuously. Text appears. Prometheus stole fire from the gods and gave it to man. For this, he was chained to a rock and tortured for eternity. As the inferno flows upwards, it turns bright white. Daylight shines on the dark-haired man, now middle-aged. His striking, pale blue eyes jolt open. A caption. 1. Fission. Blue-eyed Oppenheimer looks down at papers on a table in front of him. Fusion. In black and white, three men sit together. They walk together. He and Strauss go through a door into a Senate hearing room. In color. Oppenheimer faces a group of men in suits. Oppenheimer's gaze drifts, a brief image of him in bed. Young Oppenheimer stares towards a rain-dappled window. Flurries of particles drift in an abyss. Lying in bed, tears glisten in young Oppenheimer's eyes. Strings of matter vibrate rapidly. Young Oppenheimer covers his eyes. He knocks over a round-bottomed flask. Other students stare at him. The lecturer, Blackett. Blackett quickly checks his pocket watch. They start taking off their lab coats. Oppenheimer glares as the other students follow Blackett out of the lab. Then his eyes drift to a green apple the student has just put on the lecturer's desk. Later, Oppenheimer places vials of chemicals into a cabinet. Then he takes down one containing potassium cyanide. At Blackett's desk, he draws potassium cyanide into a syringe and injects it into the green apple. A drop of the chemical drips down the apple's shiny surface as Oppenheimer walks out. Later, he pushes through a crowded lecture hall to find a spot against the wall. Oppenheimer's hand shoots up. As Oppenheimer lies awake in bed, flashes show the drifting particles and bands of strings that become wavy as they vibrate violently. He closes his eyes. Beneath a star-filled night sky, golden light from a small campfire washes over Oppenheimer's young face. Lying in bed, he sleeps. By the fire, a horse eats an apple from his hand. A flash of the green apple wakes him. He bolts out of bed. Oppenheimer rushes against the flow of students and bursts into the lab where he sees the uneaten green apple. Blackett stands at his desk with another man. Bohr has the apple. Oppenheimer eyes the apple. He grabs it and throws it in the bin. Thick clouds give way to mountain ranges spanning the horizon. Light glints off floating particles as a view pushes through them. In a dim space, Oppenheimer stares upwards. A brief view of a mountain range, then the particles in blackness, and Oppenheimer gazing upwards. A grand university campus nestled between a town and lush rolling hillsides with a backdrop of the mountains. As Oppenheimer observes a lecture, an ephemeral amber circle churns as it frames a glowing sphere against a dark abyss. He wanders through an art gallery, and at night sits with the wasteland on his lap. As he stares ahead, sparks rise up off the campfire, and the particles float upwards in a similar manner. At the museum, Oppenheimer focuses intently on a cubist painting of a fractured blue face, then the view pushes deeper through the particles resembling a starry night sky. In his room, he idly bounces a ball while listening to a record. He flings a wine glass into a corner. At a blackboard, Oppenheimer taps his chalk on the board before writing. A flash appears of an amber-tinged substance flowing in a circular pattern around a point of light. Blue-tinged bands of light move rapidly through darkness as Oppenheimer lies awake in bed. As he scrawls furiously on the blackboard, the vibrating rings pull apart until they resemble the symbol for the atom. In black and white, at Strauss confirmation hearing. In a flashback, Lewis Strauss exits a large brick building. He jogs down to greet Oppenheimer as he steps away from a taxi. With his hands behind his back, Oppenheimer surveys the generous office. He looks out of a large window to see a man tossing a stone into a pond. Oppenheimer turns to face him. Oppenheimer returns his gaze to the window. Oppenheimer flashes a smile. Straw stands outside and watches him approach the large pond. A breeze blows the hat off Einstein's bushy white hair, and Oppenheimer retrieves it for him. The two physicists greet each other, and Straw smiles softly as he walks toward them. Einstein trudges away from Oppenheimer. The white-haired man ignores Straws and glumly walks past him. Oppenheimer steps past Straws, who watches him incredulously. The young aide smiles. In color. Roger Robb gestures for him to continue. Dark-haired, bespectacled Robbie finds a seat in a crowded lecture hall. At the front, Oppenheimer stands at a lectern looking slightly nervous. At night, Oppenheimer sits in a train compartment staring out of a rain-dappled window. Robbie enters and offers him some food. Oppenheimer smiles. Oppenheimer nods. He accepts the food. In Vienna, a clean-cut man speaks to a small group of students, including Oppenheimer and Robbie. Robbie gives a wave as he approaches Heisenberg with Oppenheimer. They shake hands. On a sunny campus, Oppenheimer carries a large stack of books under one arm as he approaches a building. Inside, he goes up a set of stairs and looks down a vacant hallway. He swings open a door to a classroom filled with natural light. Random pieces of furniture and stacks of boxes dot the otherwise sparse room. He walks down the hall to a room labeled Radiation Laboratory. A tall, bespectacled, thin man. As Oppenheimer paces in his classroom, a student bursts in. Pale and scrawny, he sits in one of several empty chairs. As Oppenheimer writes on a blackboard, Luminitz's puzzled expression morphs into a smile. Oppenheimer hands back papers to a handful of students now sitting at the desks. Even more students listen. Lawrence smirks. Rally for Loyalist Spain. On the blackboard. On a quiet street, Oppenheimer notices someone shining a torch by a car and making notes. A man comes up behind Oppenheimer. The brothers hug. They enter a house crowded with guests. A brunette brings drinks. Chevalier clinks Oppenheimer's glass and walks away. Later, Jean straddles Oppenheimer on a bed, her dress pulled down around her waist as she thrusts. She slows to stop, and he frowns. She climbs off him and peruses his bookshelf. She opens a book in a foreign language. Holding the open book in front of her bare breasts, Jean stands in front of Oppenheimer. She straddles him. His eyes find the section she points to. Jean keeps the book aimed at Oppenheimer as she moves on top of him. He lies back, his gaze never leaving her face. In a desert, a pale dusk sky hangs over low dunes surrounded by mountains. Three figures on horseback ride across the shrub-dotted ground, the vast landscape cast in shadow. Storm clouds gather in the darkening sky. Oppenheimer, Frank, and Lawrence dismount. They pull their horses forward. In a tent at night, warm light glows on the men's faces. Lawrence passes a bottle of booze to Frank, who takes a swig. Oppenheimer cracks a smile. Outside, Oppenheimer joins Lawrence, who gazes up at the dark, starry sky. The image fades to black. Holding hands as they walk, Jean lets go of Oppenheimer's. She glares. A guy in a hairdressing cape bursts out of a barber's shop. Alvarez flings the cape at the barber and sprints away. Oppenheimer chases him to his room, where Lawrence joins them. Alvarez shows a newspaper. Oppenheimer walks briskly to his blackboard and turns it to a blank side. Lawrence ponders, then follows Alvarez out. Later, Lawrence returns and Oppenheimer points at his work. The radiation lab. On a monitor. Particles flash like sparks. At night. Jean puts a bouquet in a dustbin. Jean averts her gaze with a look of frustration. She storms into a house. Chevalier waits with a woman in a car. Later. L. Tenton leads Oppenheimer to the front of a crowd that includes luminates. He stands in front of a banner which reads, Architects, Engineers, Chemists and Technicians, FAECT, in the lab. Lawrence angles his face away. Two men come in and Oppenheimer stands. Hands on his hips, the taller of the two men, Bush, glances at the floor. Oppenheimer looks down knowingly, then touches the arm of Richard Tolman on his way to the door. In the hallway, Oppenheimer glances back towards the lab. As he enters his own classroom, a journal is flung at him. Students applaud. Hartland shows a newspaper headline, Hitler invades Poland. A brunette seated behind him sulks. In a flashback, she follows him into a house. She takes the glass from him. He presses his hand to hers, and she entwines their fingers with a smile. Their smiles drop as Ruthie walks past them on her way to the patio, where she puts her arm around Richard. She and Oppenheimer ride horses over an expansive landscape. They dismount and secure their horses. They sip from a flask. He pulls Kitty into a passionate kiss. With Jean, he sits on the floor, leaning against a bed, with his arm around her. A tear stains her cheek. He pulls a tiny posy from his jacket. She tosses it aside as he rests his face against her head. in the radiation lab. Lawrence comes into the meeting. Students watch as he yanks down a flyer that reads, "Unionize the radiation lab." The students leave. Oppenheimer starts to follow them. Lawrence comes close to his friend and holds out his hands in exasperation. Deep wrinkles crease Oppenheimer's brow. The friends lock eyes, then shake hands. The security hearing. Strauss smiles to himself, then rubs his balding head. In the audience at the vote, Strauss forces a smile. In color, at night, Oppenheimer strides up a walkway to a wood and stone house with warm light glowing inside. He steps into the hallway. He finds her sitting in the dark. As she stands, she knocks a glass into a bottle of booze before kissing and wrapping her arms around him. She shoves him away furiously. She grabs the bottle and slides it off the dining table. She shuffles out of the room. Later, Oppenheimer parks his convertible and goes to the baby in the back seat. He carries the infant to a house. Chevalier's wife Barbara answers the door. She takes the baby from him. He sits with Chevalier. Oppenheimer stands. In bright sunshine, Kitty and Oppenheimer ride horses across a dusty plain as the sun's hazy rays flare over mountain ranges. Later, they sit at the base of a bare tree. At a catered lunch, Oppenheimer glances over at two military officers, one seated between Richard and Dr. Bush, as he and Lawrence plate themselves food. Oppenheimer studies papers in his classroom. The officers enter. Groves hands his jacket to the younger Nichols, who glowers before leaving with it. Mustachioed Groves holds Oppenheimer's gaze. Oppenheimer gets to his feet. A surprised look crosses Grove's face. At the blackboard. On the Mesa, a desert plateau, Oppenheimer meets with Groves and Nichols. Groves regards him seriously, then looks to Nichols. On a train, on a campus. In a lecture hall. Oppenheimer and Groves walk with a young man, Richard Feynman. With a dark-haired man. In the lecture hall. Oppenheimer smiles at the recruit, Edward Condon, in the dark-haired man's office. On the train, Oppenheimer sits across from Groves, who rests his eyes. Feynman at the Los Alamos construction site. Oppenheimer turns to Condon, who's with him.
Condon and Feynman go, while Oppenheimer walks with Robbie.
Oppenheimer wears a military uniform. In an unfinished building, he writes on a blackboard. Oppenheimer turns from his crude diagram on the blackboard and glares quizzically at his friend. Robbie fixes him with a sad gaze and shrugs regretfully as he sits down. Robbie hangs his head and Oppenheimer gazes out of a window gravely as he fiddles with a piece of chalk. He steps slowly towards his friend.
Removing his glasses, Robbie wipes away tears. Robbie averts his eyes. Oppenheimer smiles. Later, Oppenheimer pulls on a blazer as he looks out of a window towards mountains. His eyes fixed on the vista, he dons a grey felt hat and smooths the wide brim with his fingertips before picking up his pipe. At dusk, people mill around the recently constructed town as Oppenheimer strides down a street lined on each side by buildings. A round white badge on his lapel reads, K6. In the radiation lab at Berkeley, a man with coiffed hair, Robert Serber, sets out chairs and Oppenheimer moves a blackboard. Behind a glass door, Luminitz waves at Oppenheimer, then someone pulls a blind down. Edward Teller, a black-haired man wearing a short tie and a long coat, barges in carrying papers in a bag. He sits down. Others have arrived. He hands papers to a man beside him. Edward Teller jots calculations while the balding man beside him, Hans Better, watches, and the rest of the group studies the papers. Oppenheimer begrudgingly joins the huddle. In a sunny forest, Oppenheimer approaches two men walking ahead of him. Einstein walks with Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer hands him a paper. Einstein unfolds the page. He slows to a stop as he studies it, then continues walking. A blaze of light. Oppenheimer nods, then walks on. Einstein offers the paper. His eyes lowered, Oppenheimer accepts the calculations and folds them into an even smaller rectangle. He nods faintly at Einstein, then walks away. Back at Berkeley, Hans Better stands to greet him. Oppenheimer shushes Better as they pass soldiers stationed outside the radiation lab. He unlocks the door, then inside, unlocks a cupboard. Better takes a file out of it. Better ice him with certainty. At home, Oppenheimer holds Peter. Oppenheimer smiles. Preparing martini glasses, Oppenheimer glances back at him. Oppenheimer turns around and regards Chevalier gravely. Wearing an inscrutable expression, Chevalier's mouth twitches. Kitty's smile fades as she notes her husband's serious expression. At the security hearing, in black and white. Later. Under a blue sky, the Oppenheimer's convertible crests the top of the mesa. Following a dirt road, they pass a small white building with a sign that reads Los Alamos Project Main Gate on their way into the newly built town. With Peter on her lap, Kitty looks around as they continue down the road and away from the town's main buildings. Having parked, Oppenheimer grabs a suitcase out of the car as his wife carries their son towards a secluded house nestled in the trees. Inside, Kitty passes Peter to her husband and sullenly explores the Spartan home filled with natural light. Peter playfully paws at his dad's face. A watchtower stands in the middle of the desert. In town, Oppenheimer walks with Hans Better. A slide of a sinking ship. The fiery explosion billows outwards. Splintered wood flies through thick smoke and splashes into water. Stepping aside, Oppenheimer gestures to Edward Serber. Oppenheimer points. A fishbowl and a brandy glass. He drops 3 marbles into the fishbowl. 2 marbles in the brandy glass. In black and white, Strauss rides in the back of a car with a police escort. Later, an aide takes his hat before he enters a banqueting room where a group of men sit around the center table. Oppenheimer, Bush and Lawrence sit among them. Strauss studies the filter papers. Strauss looks across at Nichols. Nichols observes. Groves arrives. They enter an office. A woman types at a desk. Grove stares at Oppenheimer for a few moments, then drops his gaze resignedly. Grove strides out. Strauss. Lawrence and Oppenheimer share a look. Strauss holds up the papers. In color, a man leads Oppenheimer and Condon across a football field. They enter a subterranean area. A man takes notes. Snatching the pen. With wide, unblinking eyes, Oppenheimer steps towards a neat pile of stacked graphite blocks. At Los Alamos. Grove storms into a lab where Oppenheimer stands with Condon by a particle accelerator. Condon storms out past Nichols. Groves gives a considered nod and they turn away from each other. At the security hearing, Rob puts the guidelines in front of Grove, seated at the head of the table, as Oppenheimer watches from a couch behind him. At Los Alamos, Oppenheimer basks in the sun on the porch of the office with his eyes closed and his pipe in his hand. Lawrence and Luminitz arrive in a black car, and he steps off the porch to greet them. Oppenheimer pats his arm. He leads them along a hallway and gestures into rooms. In one, a chemist works with flasks, and in another, a scientist peers through a spectrometer. They pass Groves. The general follows them to the meeting room, where Oppenheimer drops more marbles into the fishbowl. He lets Lawrence take the stage. Groves walks away, in black and white, at the banqueting hall. Strahl sets his gaze on Oppenheimer, who keeps his eyes averted and stands. He steps away. In color. Sitting at his cluttered desk in Los Alamos, Oppenheimer picks up his phone and presses a button. Nichols' office. Oppenheimer nods and glances aside. He heads for the door. Nichols pulls a badge away from Oppenheimer as he reaches for it. Nichols sneers, then lets Oppenheimer take the badge. At the security hearing, in a flashback, a man in a dark suit tails Oppenheimer into a hotel lobby, where he takes an elevator. Oppenheimer walks up to a room. He holds a bouquet. Jean answers the hotel room door. She takes the flowers and drops them in a bin as Oppenheimer follows her inside. Naked, they sit in chairs. They're several feet apart. Viewed from behind Rob, Oppenheimer is now naked at the head of the table. Behind him, Kitty's gaze traces upwards to Jean, also naked, straddling Oppenheimer. As Jean moves up and down on top of Oppenheimer, she rests her head on his shoulder and fixes her deadened stare on Kitty. Kitty holds her gaze bitterly before looking away. In the hotel room, he shakes his head firmly. Oppenheimer appears clothed again. In a bathroom, a figure in a skirt drops pillows onto the floor. Still, dark hair floats in bathwater. As attendees file out, Oppenheimer turns to Kitty, who averts her gaze as she stands. He picks up her handbag for her. She snatches her bag and drops it. She collects the contents, including a flask. She walks away from him. A military officer at Berkeley. On a train. At the security hearing, Oppenheimer sits down with the boyish Colonel Pash. Pash glances at Johnson. Oppenheimer shifts in his seat. The colonel remains impassive and fixed on Oppenheimer, who glances towards Johnson. The security hearing. Oppenheimer collects his things and leaves Johnson's office. At the security hearing, behind Pash, Oppenheimer smiles faintly. At Los Alamos, marbles now fill most of the fishbowl and brandy glass. At a lively gathering in a lodge-like building, Teller swats a party hat away. Kitty wears a Santa hat as she stands by the drinks table, eyeing her husband across the room. The partygoers turn to Groves. He steps aside, revealing Neil's boar. Oppenheimer grins broadly and Groves heads out. Boar. Boar to Oppenheimer. They leave the party together. In the meeting room, Teller claps his hands together and grins. Oppenheimer smirks. The handful of gathered scientists leave Bohr and Oppenheimer alone. Mrs. Serb enters, hanging back. Oppenheimer turns to her. He gives her an annoyed look. In a forest clearing under early morning light, Kitty, on horseback, comes upon another steed. She searches the snow-dotted area on foot, her gaze settling on something. She finds her husband lying on the ground and sits him up. A figure drops pillows in the bathroom. The figure's draped over the bath. Black-gloved hands hold her head under the water. In the bathroom, Jean kneels on the pillows and submerges her head in the tub. Kitty's gaze hardens. Kitty grabs his lapels and shakes him. She stands sharply and points at him. In the meeting room, Oppenheimer looks distracted. Seething in his chair, Teller rips off his ID badge, puts it aside, and picks up his coat. He marches up to Oppenheimer. He leaves. Oppenheimer stalks out. He exits the white building into bright sunshine. He picks up his pace as Teller walks ahead of him and stops at the security gate barrier. He turns to face Oppenheimer. Teller considers, then relents, and gives a resigned nod before turning back to the barrier. Oppenheimer nods and a guard raises the barrier. At the security hearing, the banqueting hall. As Oppenheimer's blue eyes glaze over, a flash shows rows of feet stomping with increasing fervor. He shuts his eyes. Oppenheimer finds the others looking to him. Straws to Oppenheimer. Straws leaves, and a man with jet black hair approaches Oppenheimer. Vapor trails rise above thick cloud cover. Oppenheimer imagines himself in the cockpit of a plane. He looks Borden in the eyes. Oppenheimer leaves him with a curt smile, then sits down with Robbie. The security hearing. Oppenheimer rides his horse by a security fence and finds a flyer attached to a post. It reads, "Discussion, the impact of the gadget on civilization." He approaches the meeting. Lily Hornig notices Oppenheimer. People turn to Oppenheimer. Marbles fill the fishbowl and brandy glass. Groves with Oppenheimer. A pregnant Kitty. In the lab, a geometric segment is placed against a spherical core. Outdoors, Kitty prepares a lone segment. A group including Groves shelters behind a dirt mound. Kitty detonates a small explosion. Groves and Oppenheimer walk over the mound. A vehicle drives across the vast desert. Frank rides in the military vehicle driven by a soldier. Later, he sets up surveying equipment. The flat shrub-dotted plane rushes past towards a steel-framed tower being constructed on Frank's site. Frank Oppenheimer, Groves and others shelter behind a barricade as Kisti detonates another test. A dust cloud erupts on the other side of the barricade. Grove strides through a grand hotel lobby with Oppenheimer, who hangs back upon seeing Sillard and the note-taker David Hill sitting at a table. He beckons Hill over. Oppenheimer knocks a clipboard and notepad out of Hill's hands. In an office, Secretary of War Henry Stimson takes off his glasses. Another segment is fitted around the spherical core. The tall steel tower is complete. Groves Glares. A map of the area. At the test site, a few scattered vehicles surround the tall steel frame tower. An army truck carrying a bulky round object backs up near the base, and a soldier prepares to cut off its covering. The soldier carefully slices the plastic covering. A white tent stands inside the base of the steel frame tower. Inside, Oppenheimer and Groves watch two men carefully carry a wooden box using poles and set it down. A woman lifts the box away, revealing a metal cylinder secured by a bolted down band. She and one of the men simultaneously undo the bolts and remove the band, careful not to touch the cylinder. Kisti and Fuchs each hold one side of a long handled clamp to gingerly lower the cylinder into the large round metal object. A few people leave the tent as Kisti, Fuchs, and another man lower a tetrahedron-shaped segment into a matching notch on the metal object's top opening, completing assembly of the bomb. A pulley lifts the bomb. Crew members push rolled-up mattresses underneath the assembled bomb before the winch lifts it higher up the center of the tower. Inside a small shelter resembling a shed at the very top, dozens of wires snake around the device as the team connects the detonators. Oppenheimer glances at Kisti, who shrugs. Dark clouds blot out most of the sky over the desert. The wind whips sheets hanging on a washing line. Seated inside her house with a cigarette and martini glass in hand, Kitty stares outside worriedly. She goes out to tend to the laundry, and as she pulls down the corner of a white sheet, she catches sight of a military jeep approaching. She watches somberly as it slows to a stop in front of the house, then turns to find her husband carrying a holdall. She nods and Oppenheimer steps past her. With a cigarette dangling from his lips, he turns back. With a slight nod, he heads to the jeep, leaving his wife staring after him, the wind blowing her hair across her tense face. In the desert, a small explosion goes off and Kisti checks a reading, which he disappointedly shows to Lily. Later, the wind stirs up desert dust, creating a haze that blows past Oppenheimer as he gets out of the jeep. Squinting, he looks up into the sky before heading for the tower. He starts to climb a wooden ladder, the wind whipping his suit jacket around. High up the tower, Oppenheimer climbs a metal ladder with a protective surround. In the shelter at the top, Oppenheimer walks slowly around the gadget. Silhouetted by dull daylight, he uncrosses his arms and steps close, letting his face come within inches of the detonator cables hanging down its surface. A weather vane spins rapidly above the vast plain. After nightfall, rain pours. In a large tent, Oppenheimer paces. The communications officer picks up a phone. Soaking wet, Kisti enters the tent. Groves turns away. Then Oppenheimer shakes Kisti's offered hand. The officer picks up the phone again. In the pouring rain, Groves and Oppenheimer drive to the South Observation Bunker. Oppenheimer and Groves sit in the bunker. He offers a wry smile. Oppenheimer checks his watch. With a cigarette between his fingers, Oppenheimer walks over to the doorway and peers out into the driving rain. In the pitch black night, light sources cast an eerie glow around the tower. Rows of lights come on along the ground sequentially. Oppenheimer and Groves step out to find the rain stopped. Frank returns. The arming party arrives several yards from the tower and lifts a lid off a long, narrow crate. Kisti quickly unlocks a wooden box nestled inside and opens it, revealing the arming switch. He throws the switch, then immediately closes the box. At base camp, dozens of people mill around outside. Robbie takes a square of dark glass from a soldier distributing them and holds it up to his eyes. At the south observation point, three men head into the bunker. Groves looks over as the isotope expert Kenneth Bainbridge enters behind Kisti and shows Oppenheimer a key, which he wears on a chain around his neck. He uses the key to turn on an instrumentation panel containing light indicators and gauges. He makes several adjustments before moving on to a second panel. Oppenheimer calmly observes with his arms crossed. Bainbridge moves across the room to a small metal box which contains a gauge and switches. He turns to Kisti, who gives him a nod. He flips two switches, then turns back to his colleagues with a sober look. A flare shoots up into the night sky. Outside base camp, observers make their way towards mattresses laid out in the dirt. Teller settles down in a chair beside Richard Feynman, who sits in a parked car. A soldier passing out welder's glass offers one to Teller.
He offers one to Feynman.
The windscreen. In the south bunker. Groves leaves and Oppenheimer's wide eyes shift tensely. From the bunker, Oppenheimer watches the tower through a telescope aimed through a hole in the wall, then locks eyes with Bainbridge. He hovers his trembling hand over the red abort button. Another flare shoots up into the sky. Groves arrives. Thick sunscreen coats Teller's face. As Lawrence joins Feynman in his car, Teller puts on dark goggles. Wearing yellow-tinted glasses, Lawrence glances over at Feynman, who looks uneasy. In the bunker, Bainbridge's hand shakes as it hovers over the abort button. Behind him, Kisty looks to a countdown on a piece of equipment which shows 44 seconds. In the tower, a red light turns on near the bomb. Oppenheimer pulls on a pair of goggles. At base camp, Groves lies on his stomach on a mattress among the other observers, who all face away from the tower. On his mattress, Robbie peers over his shoulder at the distant tower. Feynman stares out of his windscreen with a look of dread. Teller watches the tower, stony-faced. Kisty pulls off his goggles and dashes outside for an unobstructed view. Searing flashes of white light blaze through the observation ports in the bunker just before a fiery explosion blasts outward. At base camp, the observers roll over and look through their welder's glass, but Robbie lingers on his stomach. Now standing outside the car, Lawrence's mouth hangs open as the bright light shines on his face. Feynman squeezes his eyes shut. Teller's lips puff out with a sharp exhale as his expression remains unchanged. In the bunker, Oppenheimer removes his goggles, blinking rapidly and squinting to see his explosion growing into a column of golden fire that blooms high into the dark sky, taking on a mushroom shape. Seen from over Lawrence's shoulder, the explosion's brilliant light gives off an amber halo around its irregular edges, which, miles away, glows on Oppenheimer's awed face. The roiling flames billow over each other, black smoke starting to form within the inferno. Robbie finally rolls over and peers through the welder's glass at the explosion. The amber glow on Oppenheimer's face dims as the black smoke grows in the flames, which fold over on themselves. Robbie lowers the glass from his eyes as the darkness consumes the remaining flames, leaving behind a ghostly cloud of smoke in the darkness. Oppenheimer squeezes his eyes shut. Outside, the shockwave knocks Kisty off his feet and shakes the bunker. At base camp, the observers look around in the dark. They simultaneously turn their heads to the side as a gust blows dust over them. At Feynman's car, the corners of Teller's mouth rise into a smile. In the bunker, Frank looks to his brother. Oppenheimer nods faintly, his eyes never leaving the test site. At base camp, observers around a kneeling Grove stir. The general gets to his feet, a grin spreading across his face as he looks around at the people celebrating. Teller shakes his head with a smile and Feynman gets out of the car. In the crowd of observers, Lawrence walks up to Fuchs and shakes his hand. A man plays bongo drums as the sun rises. Outside the bunker, Kisti hugs Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer pats his pockets. Tears shine in Oppenheimer's eyes as Kisti vigorously shakes his hand. At base camp, soldiers and scientists mingle in the early morning sunshine. Through the revelers, Robbie spots a jeep approaching. Grove steps forward smiling as Oppenheimer arrives at base camp. Beaming, he puts his hand on his hat to keep it from blowing away in the breeze. As the crowd closes in, Oppenheimer walks through smiling and shaking hands with members of the team. Through the elated crowd, Groves watches Oppenheimer with a smile, then turns to a lower-ranking officer. The wavy brim of Oppenheimer's hat droops over his face as he excitedly greets people around him. He comes across Fermi and shakes his hand. Nearby, Groves holds a phone to his ear. Two men lift Oppenheimer up on their shoulders, and he holds his hat aloft amidst the victorious crowd as an American flag flutters behind him. At home, Kitty feeds a crying baby, then goes to the phone. Kitty's face freezes in a stunned expression. Fade to black. Later, Oppenheimer addresses an officer. Outside, Oppenheimer observes a crew sealing up two crates containing single bombs, each on their own truck. Groves comes out of the building and stands next to him. Groves walks off, then turns back. Turning from the departing general, Oppenheimer watches as the two trucks drive away, revealing Teller standing on the other side of the road. They meet in the middle and watch the bombs being ferried off. The trucks pass through a security gate. Oppenheimer turns sharply to him, before walking in the opposite direction of the trucks, which Teller continues to watch as they travel away from Los Alamos. At their house, Kitty moves through a dark hallway to find her husband smoking at the kitchen table, in his pajamas. He idly turns a matchbox in his hand. Kitty moves from the doorway to join him at the table. In his office, Oppenheimer looks back and forth and paces. Cigarette in hand, he rubs his eye. He rushes to the radio. A microphone's placed by the radio. Frank steps into a hallway.
Feynman and Better lock eyes unhappily.
Unsmiling, they shake hands. In the office, Oppenheimer picks up a receiver and Mrs. Serber hangs hers up quietly. Soldiers on a truck wave American flags. In a hall, a few people wave small American flags as they sit on tiered seating. In a quiet area, Oppenheimer looks around nervously and turns to his wife. Kitty steps close. She straightens his tie and gives him a reassuring smile. He puts down a cigarette and opens a door leading to a gangway between the raised seating, where the gathered crowd stop their feet. Oppenheimer glances at their feet as he passes, raising his eyebrows wearily and catching sight of a man passing a liquor bottle to a friend. Reaching the front of the audience, Oppenheimer nods and forces a smile. He stands behind a lectern facing rows of seats in front of the raised seating set up on a basketball court. Standing, the audience applauds, and Oppenheimer leans forward in a gracious bow. One woman wears her round identification badge. Oppenheimer gestures for them to be seated, and they obey. He stares out at the crowd and considers. As he stares out into the crowd, Oppenheimer's shoulders sag and his gaze lowers. Behind him, a large stone hearth distorts in short pulses. The distortion grows more intense. The audience leaps to its feet and Oppenheimer forces a smile as the hearth appears to vibrate behind him. Oppenheimer's unfocused gaze roves across the enthusiastically applauding crowd. At the front of the audience, a young brunette regards him rapturously, and Oppenheimer's expression tinges with dread. Clapping wildly, audience members spring back to their feet. As Oppenheimer forces a smile, he drifts in and out of focus before searing white light flashes, whiting out the cheering crowd. Oppenheimer blanches upon noticing a woman whose skin flakes off, her features obscured by the light, which flashes as dust rains over the rows of seats that now appear vacant. In reality, a blurred view shows hands reaching out to touch a drained Oppenheimer as he passes through the crowd. He eyes a woman laughing hysterically. As he takes a step forward, Oppenheimer looks down at his foot plunged through a body charred beyond recognition. He lifts his foot out, the toe of his shoe piled with ash. When his overwhelmed gaze searches the crowd, he finds the laughing woman now sobbing. His expression subdued, Oppenheimer moves down the center of the raised seating, passing in and out of shadow. He spots a couple under the seating, the man's hand up the woman's shirt as they kiss passionately. Leaving his audience behind, Oppenheimer exits the room, finding a crying couple comforting each other. Heading outside, he looks through the building's windows at the frenzied crowd as warm light from within glows in the night. Near a bike rack, a young man throws up, then locks eyes with Oppenheimer as vomit drips from his mouth. An issue of Time magazine has Oppenheimer on the cover above the phrase, "Father of the Atomic Bomb." In a waiting room, an austere Oppenheimer eyes the magazine. She pats his shoulder. Nodding stiffly, Oppenheimer stands, straightening his tie as he follows the woman to a door. She lets him into the Oval Office, where President Truman comes out from behind his desk to shake Oppenheimer's hand. They settle down in a seating area. The president's expression sours and he leans back in his chair, glancing at Burns. Oppenheimer stares off. Truman considers with a frown. Reaching into the breast pocket of his grey suit, the president pulls out a white handkerchief. He waves it at Oppenheimer like a white flag as he leans towards him. Truman breaks from Oppenheimer's unblinking gaze to look at Secretary Burns. Standing, Burns smiles politely at Oppenheimer, who follows him to the door and walks out of the room. Truman stands up. The door shuts. Oppenheimer blinks and plods past his magazine cover. In black and white, photographers snap Oppenheimer as he dons his hat. Later, he and Kitty pose with their children for a photographer. In color, Truman announces H-bomb program. Oppenheimer looks across a black tie party at Strauss. Oppenheimer half-heartedly raises his glass to them, then turns away. Strauss sends his son away with his fiancée. Strauss leaves Oppenheimer open-mouthed. Kitty opens the front door to see agents digging through their trash. A lecture. He looks at the aide. A slideshow. In the audience, Oppenheimer looks down. After the slideshow. Blackett takes a bite of an apple. In Los Alamos. The Eight Holds Up Time magazine. Straws appears on the cover. Straws holds out his hand and the aide gives him the magazine before sliding into a seat across from him with a bewildered look. In colour, Oppenheimer's with his lawyer, Lloyd Garrison. At the vote, Straw sits stony-faced. To Joe Volpe. Having thrown a bottle, she goes, in black and white. Straws turns to Borden. Members of staff enter a cluttered storage room and arrange tables for the security hearing. Borden signs his report. In the Senate building, the aide regards Straws coldly. In color, Oppenheimer studies Nichols' recommendation. Straws puts his arm around Oppenheimer as he walks him out. With a shell-shocked look, Oppenheimer steps out of Straw's house. Straw opens the car door for Oppenheimer, who turns to face him. Without an acknowledgement, Oppenheimer gets in the car. Straw shuts the door. At home, Oppenheimer smokes as he sits on the couch with Kitty. Lawyer Joe Volpe sits with them. A member of the board nods. In flashback, Pash watches Johnson set up a recording device in a lamp. Garrison shuts his eyes exasperatedly. In the hallway, Oppenheimer hangs his head. Robbie unwraps some food in a napkin and holds it out to Oppenheimer, who takes it. As his friend eats, Robbie looks down the hallway and locks eyes with Lawrence, who stops abruptly. Robbie tilts his head sternly and Lawrence retreats. Oppenheimer follows Robbie's gaze, finding no one there. Robbie offers a smile which quickly fades. Garrison glances nervously at Oppenheimer. Borden sits. In black and white, photographers snap pictures of a suited man as he takes a seat at Straw's confirmation hearing. The note-taker, Hill, smiles. Hill lifts his lowered gaze. Vannevar Bush. Straws glowers. At the security hearing, Teller removes his glasses. On his way out, Teller extends his hand to Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer begrudgingly shakes it. At the hearing, General Groves looks down at the guidelines before him, a resigned look settling on his face. Rob smirks and looks away from Groves. The chairman smiles tightly at Groves and the general stands. On his way out, he gives a nod to Oppenheimer, who blinks back tears as he returns the gesture. In the hallway, Oppenheimer holds a cigarette as Garrison paces. He spots Kitty walking towards them. In the hearing room, Rob moves his chair closer to Kitty, who keeps her gaze lowered. As the members of the board stare, Kitty avoids eye contact, and Rob cocks his head sarcastically. Kitty continues staring at the table. Watching, Garrison's mouth tightens. Rob nods in amusement. An older member of the board, Ward Evans, smiles. Garrison and Oppenheimer share a relieved look. By a taxi. Volpe and Garrison are driven away. Einstein wanders over. In black and white. Einstein trudges past him. In color. Searing white light fills the room. Jean struggles in the bath. The light fades out. Oppenheimer sits motionless, his intense eyes glued to the table. Oppenheimer lifts his gaze. The board members stand. Rob shakes hands with the chairman, Gordon Gray, Ward Evans, and a third board member. Oppenheimer holds a phone receiver and blinks hard. In black and white, journalists hound the aide as he heads to the room where Strauss sits alone. The aide enters. Strauss' gaze hardens, then he turns to the aide. He sets his jaw, his stoic profile edged in daylight streaming in through a window. In color, Oppenheimer finds Kitty standing at the fence outside their house. She turns, shadows darken her tear-filled eyes. He extends his arm. Kitty takes her husband's hand and they stroll up the path towards their home. In black and white, Strauss gets up. The aide opens the door and Strauss flinches as camera flashes go off in his furious face. Passing the aide, he pastes on a smile for the press. A flashback. In colour, a breeze blows the hat off Einstein's white hair, and Oppenheimer retrieves it. Soft raindrops dapple the surface of the pond. At the White House, Oppenheimer, his hair now grey, holds a folio. President Johnson hangs it round his neck. The brothers hug. Robbie touches Oppenheimer's face tenderly as a line of men, including Lawrence, wait to congratulate him. Teller approaches. He shakes Oppenheimer's hand with a friendly smile, then turns to Kitty, who regards him icily. As Teller's smile fades, he lowers his offered hand. Kitty twists her mouth to the side and looks away as Teller moves on. At the pond, Einstein moves away. In the near distance, Strauss approaches the two men. Oppenheimer's unfocused eyes stare at the ground with a haunted expression. Elsewhere, a view eclipses him to include a row of missiles. By the pond, Einstein turns and trudges away. Above thick cloud cover, a speeding missile rises, leaving behind a vapor trail. Oppenheimer imagines himself in the cockpit of a plane as several rockets streak past. Fiery light rises over the tops of clouds. Under the brim of his dark hat, Oppenheimer's gaze grows horrified as a vision shows a chain reaction of explosions spreading over the world. He squeezes his eyes shut. Cut to black. The title appears. Oppenheimer. Written for the screen and directed by Christopher Nolan. Based on the book American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer by Kai Bird and Martin J. Sherwin. Produced by Emma Thomas, PGA, produced by Charles Roven, PGA. Produced by Christopher Nolan, PGA. Executive Producers J. David Wargo, James Woods. Executive Producer Thomas Hayslip. Director of Photography Hoyt van Hoytema, ASC, FSF, NSC. Production Designer Ruth de Jong. Edited by Jennifer Lame, ACE. Music by Ludwig Göransson. Visual Effects Supervisor Andrew Jackson. Special Effects Supervisor Scott Fisher. Costumes designed by Ellen Mirajnik. Co-producer Andy Thompson. Casting by John Papsidera, CSA. Killian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Florence Pugh, Josh Hartnett, Casey Affleck, with Rami Malek, and Kenneth Branagh. Benny Safdie, Jason Clark, Dylan Arnold, Tom Conti, James Darcy, David Dusmalkin, Dane DeHaan, Alden Ehrenreich, Tony Goldwyn, Jefferson Hall, David Krumholtz, Matthew Modine, a Universal Pictures presentation, a Syncope production. In association with Atlas Entertainment, a film by Christopher Nolan. Oppenheimer. Unit Production Manager Thomas Hayslip. Unit Production Manager Nathan Kelly. First Assistant Director Nilo Otero. Second Assistant Director Andrew Stahl. Visual Effects Producer Mike Chambers, VES. Cast in order of appearance, J. Robert Oppenheimer, Cillian Murphy, Kitty Oppenheimer, Emily Blunt, Louis Strauss, Robert Downey Jr., Senate aide Alden Ehrenreich, Counsel Scott Grimes. Roger Robb, Jason Clark, Thomas Morgan, Kurt Kohler, Gordon Gray, Tony Goldwyn, Ward Evans, John Gowans, Lloyd Garrison, Macon Blair, Patrick Blackett, James Darcy. Niels Bohr, Kenneth Branagh, Senator McGee, Harry Greener, Chairman Magnuson, Gregory Jabara, Senator Bartlett, Ted King, Senator Pastor, Tim DeKay. Senator Scott, Stephen Huska, Albert Einstein, Tom Conti, Isidore Robbie, David Krumholtz, Dutch Student, Petrie Willink, Werner Heisenberg, Matthias Schweighofer, Ernest Lawrence, Josh Hartnett. Luis Alvarez, Alex Wolf, Rossi Lomanitz, Josh Zuckerman, Hartland Snyder, Rory Keane, Robert Serber, Michael Angarano, Frank Oppenheimer, Dylan Arnold, Jackie Oppenheimer, Emma Dumont. Jean Tatlock, Florence Pugh, Mary Washburn, Sadie Stratton, Hawken Chevalier, Jefferson Hall, Barbara Chevalier, Britt Kyle, George Eltonton, Guy Burnett, Richard Tolman, Tom Jenkins. Vannevar Bush, Matthew Modine, Ruth Tolman, Louise Lombard, William Borden, David Dasmalkin, Joe Volpe, Michael Andrew Baker, Congressman Jeff Hefner, Leslie Groves, Matt Damon.
Kenneth Nichols, Dane DeHaan, Edward Condon, Ollie Harskevy, Donald Hornig, David Risdahl, Kenneth Bainbridge, Josh Peck, Richard Feynman, Jack Quaid, Concerned Scientist, Brett Del Buono.
Copyright 2023 Universal Studios. All rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo. Copyright 2013 Universal Studios. Universal Studios is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The depictions of tobacco smoking contained in this film are based solely on artistic consideration and are not intended to promote tobacco consumption. The Surgeon General has determined that there are serious health risks associated with smoking and secondhand smoke. Although this motion picture is based on a true story, some of the material has been fictionalized. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Oppenheimer. Audio description was voiced by Roland Biern at Deluxe. Atlas Entertainment.